This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. And it's Tech Thursday today, so Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia is in the studio. And this time he's made it on time, not like last week. Karam, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
He's brought a guest along with him. It's Dato' Dr. Rajan. He's the CEO of Holista Coltech. Dato', welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. And great to be here.
Hopefully, you've met Karam before, and you know, too many times. And you sort of understand what will happen in the next 10 minutes.
Disruption.
No, not at all. No, I hope that our listeners will be disrupted also in their mindset, thinking that innovation, you know, R&D can only happen with expensive equipment and super brainy people around you. So, which is why, Rajan, you know, we've brought you on the show, because I was just fascinated by, no doubt you've got a PhD and all, but just the route that you've taken, and the seeds of where your R&D began, you know, in your office. That's great. So, firstly, you know, your PhD was in 2000.
Yeah.
And the title of your paper was?
Well, it was a very very PhD-sounding title. It was The Effect of Macronutrients on the Carcinoids in the Body. But really, it basically is about you are what you eat.
You are what you, and the tsunami of the...
Right.
That
so
was brilliant.
One of the theses of that PhD was the fact that we have this 4S tsunami, which is starch, sugar, salt, and sodium. And these are abundant, they're very cheap, and they're very addictive. So it's almost a mantra for the food industry to goose up the
food.
Load
it up.
Yeah, with a lot of starch, a lot of sugar, a lot of saturated fat, and a lot of sodium. Mm-hmm. And when people take this, the food tastes good, they come back for more.
Yeah.
It's a perfect formula if you're running a drug company, but it's a terrible formula if you're running a country or the world, because in the last 30 years, obesity has shot through the roof, diabetes has shot through the roof. Malaysians are the most obese in ASEAN. We are the most diabetic in ASEAN.
Wow.
1 in 5 Malaysians are diabetic.
Wow.
And that number is probably higher because not everybody's testing. This is the first generation of human beings from the beginning of time where our kids won't live longer than us because of this 4S tsunami.
That is chilling, man.
It is chilling.
It's chilling.
Right.
It defies logic even, right?
That's right.
So now you are trying to... Sorry for cutting in here. Now you are... And I think I like the fact that you said you are trying to solve the problem at the source, trying to get people to change the way they consume food. But you say it's abundant, it's cheap. The whole multi-billion dollar food industry is psychoing us to saying that this is good for us. And then come down to white bread, right? It looks so pure, so beautiful, tasting so good.
Yeah.
And you had this insight that, you know, if you cannot change the way people, you know, will eat what they eat, then change it from the other way around, which is what did you say in your own words when the food is?
Yeah. I think, you know, just to go back a little bit, Karam.
Okay, sorry, I jumped ahead there.
So I came back from my PhD. I was very motivated when I did talks, you know, told people don't eat this, don't eat that.
Yeah.
You know? And after a while, I realized they're not listening. You know, they entertain.
After a while, like 12 years, video.
They're entertained. They're not listening.
They're entertained.
And I realized, okay, if you can't change what people put in their mouth, what if you can change how their bodies react to it? Mm-hmm. Right?
So what I think that's a great example out there for people. Can you imagine now, you know, he's trying to solve the problem from a different lens. So you're traditionally, hey, change the way you eat, right? After that doesn't work, it was amazing that you were able to say, let's look at it from the other way. Right. I cannot change this. I'll change, you know,
how their body responds.
And that's a hard... I think that's a hard thing to look at and to come to the realization that I got to look at it differently, because you yourself didn't have to change your mindset and
that's
say,
right,
guys, we've been on the wrong track all this while.
Right.
Let's look at it this way.
So when you had that, what happened after that then?
So then we went back and looked at how we could tweak foods, right, and make the foods somehow taste good on the mouth, look good on the eye, smell good on the nose. But once they get in, they don't do the damage they're supposed to do, or the damage they would do otherwise.
Most people would think you're talking about GMO, right, when you say this.
Oh, no.
Okay.
In fact, you know, our low GI bread, and we announced this on the stock exchange in Australia on the 12th of January, It was, I mean, it's phenomenal. We've got reports, news stories all over the world. I've been on Bloomberg, and this Monday now I'm being interviewed by Channel 7 in Australia, the largest channel in Australia.
In Australia, when you head back there. Yeah. Okay.
And it's simply because it's quite groundbreaking. We have a white bread that looks like a white bread, tastes like a white bread, feels like a white bread. It's got the same mouthfeel.
It is white bread,
it's
actually,
white bread.
Right?
But it will not peak your blood sugar the way a normal white bread would.
Mm.
Right? But even better is when you look at the ingredient list, there is no chemical in there. Not even GMO. We don't have modified products. We don't have E-numbers and all that in there. It's the world's first low GI clean label white bread.
Low GI, which is the
glycemic index. Yeah.
And how is this possible?
Yeah.
Well, we tweaked it by using a couple of ingredients that are common in Ayurvedic foods.
Really nice. See, he combines, you know, the magic that is out there in Ayurveda treatment.
Because, you know, these are all prescribed in Ayurvedic eating, that you have the so-called Ayurvedic meal, the Thali meal, where all these ingredients are there. And they somehow blunt the rise of blood sugar. And obviously, over time, we've lost that, you know. And, of course, it's all traditional Indian foods. So they have a strong Indian flavor, Indian look and feel about them, and that will never sit well on a Caucasian tongue. So we do a bit of tweaking there and play with the ratios. And we got the testing done, and it was...
Okay, stop. This tweaking is fascinating. Where did this tweaking happen?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the early tweaks, of course, took place in the house at home. And then from there, it moved to the office, you know. So I got a team, what I call my new product development team, and we were working basically at a benchtop using a normal simple oven that you can buy for $500.
And you were making and you were mixing these ingredients into your typical bread.
That's right. A bread formula.
And basically you were just making bread every day, right?
Every other day.
In the office, you know, with his secretary who I know. And can you just imagine that? Nothing fancy there, right?
Yeah.
I think, Fendi, and you start with your home and then you bring it to the office. And how many years was this going on before
this this went on for about 2 years or so before we knew.
Day in, day out in the office.
Yeah, before we knew. And then of course, we took it to labs.
Because then it got serious.
You need to certify this. You know, nobody's going to believe you when you say a low GI. And the thing with low GI is you can't just say it. You've got to test it. You've got to make people feed it. Yes. And then you've got to draw their blood. And then you've got to plot that in a curve. So you cannot possibly make a claim, you know.
Yeah,
so that's done. It's almost a clinical study. Yeah. And that's done at labs. So we went to several labs. In fact, we went to all the GI testing centers in the world. We went to Australia. We went to in Sydney. We did something in Perth. We did something in San Francisco. We did something in Toronto. We did something in Singapore. Of course, we did stuff in Malaysia, in Oxford. We even did
Oxford is not in Malaysia. Our readers and listeners will get confused. You mean Oxford in the UK, right?
University of Oxford, yeah.
So look at how thorough the process was of making sure that this ingredient, you know, does what, you know, Rajan thought it does with data. So this is just to compile data and to get through with the regulators.
6 years of data. And it was six.
And what's the...
And when Karam says Tara, it's... No, it was haphazard. You know, half the time I worried that it won't work, you know, in the real setting, you know. Yes. I mean, you sleepless nights, you know, because all these tests take time. They take lots of money and you're paying in foreign currency, which is not cheap. We spent about $3 million Australian in the process. And I think the labs, wherever they are, you know, and you know, here's the thing, we always kept missing. We just missed. We'll always be missed. You know, we've just missed. We got it down from a high GI, white bread is high GI, to medium.
Okay.
But to go low, we just were missing, and it's always missing, you know.
Wow.
And we had a partner in Switzerland, a company called Veripan, you know, and I told them, look, we're not going to quit. Mm. We know we're there. We're not going to quit. We know.
That's the mindset of the entrepreneur, right?
We're not going to give up, you know, because we know so much. You know,
over the years.
We go back to, you know, what Edison said. No, I know.
I didn't fail 1,000 times.
I just found 900 ways not to do a light bulb. So that's what we did too. You know, over 7 years, we didn't fail. Every time we did something, we learned something new, and we said, okay, let's tweak it again, let's change it again, because at the end of the day, the bread cannot be discernible to the average person. It must be the same white bread, right? And so I think, you know, and then what was very important in the process, we had teamed up with a major player in the space, Veripan. Mm. And Varipan is...
But they only came in later when you had substantial data, right?
After our patent was filed and all that, yeah.
After the patent was filed also.
Okay. We had a real product, you know, at that point. So they have access and they know bread. You know, let's not run away from the fact that Europe is the most innovative bread market in the world.
Oh, is it? Okay, I didn't know. I love the fact that when I met you, you said that there's been no innovation in bread, you know, ever since bread was
invented. Since sliced bread.
Since sliced bread. No innovation. Amazing.
Apart from adding a bit of sugar and that kind of stuff. You know.
Or purple wheat bread.
adding a different color, putting a bit of raisins or cranberries. But here was an ingredient that would really have an actual impact on the bread after you ingest it, you know. The impact is quite significant. Today I was also on a call to Australia and they said it's quite a, you know. And his thing is, we talked about white bread because white bread is the most difficult of all because, you know, it's got to be white. It's got to be fairly tasteless and odorless, you know. But we've done it also with muffins. We've got the world's lowest GI white muffin, brownies, cookies, all baked products we can do now.
Which I was just about to ask. So, you know, from white bread, are you then able to replicate this on other?
We have done it so. We chose bread because it's the most difficult to do.
Right.
But after bread, we're going to muffins. We've got an announcement coming soon on muffins.
So what's the status
The more savvy listeners out there are going to their stock dashboard and saying, "Huh, Hollister call time. Okay, man. Buy a few lots."
So currently, what is the status? Is it in the market? Is it in the shelves?
We chose Australia.
Okay.
We're an Australian company. All the work, early work and final work was done in Australia.
Okay.
And Australia has the largest density of low GI products on the shelf. So they're
acutely aware of
the concept of low GI. So we'll launch in Australia probably around September.
September of this year. Okay.
Yeah, it's 6 months out.
Okay.
And we've got a major player in Australia who will do it for us. So they have the resources, the muscle.
So white bread will have this ingredient in it, right? And maybe other like cookies or muffins.
We're working on
Starbucks.
We're working on muffins in the US. We're working on muffins in the US. We're working on brownies in the US. But, you know, like I said, if you look at wheat, because we're talking about wheat now, if you look at wheat, then the most common consumption of wheat worldwide is as a noodle.
Yes.
So my next dream is to work on a low GI noodle.
Wow.
And then you have the Asian market.
And half the world's wheat is consumed as noodle. Quarter of the world's wheat is consumed as bread. And about 15% is as a biscuit. But good noodles are gooey, they're wet, it's a bit more difficult, but we'll do it.
We'll do that.
We'll absolutely. And then we can say the next thing is, the next best thing is instant noodles.
That'd be great. No, but Rajan, one thing good about Australia is that they don't pick winners. What do you mean by that? Because your company is based there, listed there, right? You've received grants from them, which is great.
Well, I think the philosophy in Australia is a bit different. They don't pick a winner. Mm-hmm. As such, they reward the winners. So they wait there at the end of the race, at the end of the racetrack, to give you the medal. They don't pick you before. They don't try to judge you before.
Are you kind of insinuating that in Malaysia that's the case then?
I don't want to get into Malaysia specific, you know, but all I can say is, you know, to date we've got almost about $3 to $3.5 million worth of grants, R&D grants, actual money come back to us in Australia.
Wow. From Australia itself, And you're obviously, your stock is based in Australia.
We were a Malaysian company. We did a reverse takeover. We are now in Australia. We're listed in the stock exchange.
Cool. All right. Carl, one more question before you need to go for a break.
Is the product in Malaysia, when is it
will.
The
it
shelf?
Will. It will get to Malaysia. Okay. It will get to Malaysia. I've got a meeting in Perth on Monday. Mm-hmm. We'll also fix that one out as to when we will get into Malaysia and Singapore.
A low GI nasi lemak in Malaysia will do.
You know what, Jeff? I'm working on. I'm working on a low GI roti canai.
Nice
roti canai. Just please don't touch our chapatis.
Isn't that low GI already?
Yeah, it is.
Don't touch the chapati. Yeah, don't reinvent the chapati.
If you look at roti canai, I would say it's the number one cause of obesity in this country.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's not rice. It's
roti canai. I thought it was like a combination.
See,
of
we consume roti canai breakfast, lunch, dinner, tea, supper. Late night, you know, and
24 hours a day.
Yeah, 7-Eleven. We are 7-Eleven. Right?
Yeah.
And along with that goes your teh tarik, which has got
massive amount of sugar.
Generous serving of sugar.
Serving, yeah.
So it's quite. it's quite a strain, and people tend to take this very early in their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think a low GI, which we can and we will do in the next 3 to 4 months.
Fantastic, yeah. Real game changer there, yeah. Dr. Rajan.
Well, talking about game changer, we will come back and we'll talk about 50 game changers.
Potential, okay.
Potential game changers.
And Rajan will stay on with us and he'll chip in too.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, we're speaking to Dr. Rajan, the Chief Executive Officer of Holista Coltech, together with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. We'll be right back, BFM 89.9.
Brilliant financial model, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and we are here with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia, together with Dr. Rajan. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Holista Coltech, and early on, we were talking about the reinvestment of roti canai in Malaysia that will happen because you know it was a fascinating story of you know how innovation you know how you created this innovation in a very you know it started from home and into your office and then later on to the labs and all right and you know Karam you talked about you know game changers and you've released your second issue of 50 possibly game changers. It's the Digirati 50.
Correct.
And this time, it is a two-year issue.
It's 2016. Even the first one was after 2 years. Yeah, yes. Each one lasts for 2 years, actually.
So it's 2016, 2017. Yes. And there are 50 Malaysians here who have, you know, obviously set the world alight with the things that they are doing. And this is all obviously in the digital space.
Yeah, in the digital space. So when you say set the world alight, it's not really, I'm a bit, as a journalist, I'm a bit cautious about using bombastic words like that. Also because one of the guys who's a Digirati said that he was happy to be among the titans of the industry. So really, it's not. So we are just, as in the first list, we know that Malaysia has got a very good story to tell in the technology space, amazing entrepreneurs out there. And while we cover it in the digital form, we said that we needed to give it a physical form, which is why we put it in print. And the reason why we did it once every 2 years is we think it probably takes you 2 years for you, and in the biotech space, a lot longer, right?
Six years.
So in the tech space, we thought that 2 years is a decent time frame for someone to make an impact with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that was the key reason why we chose these people. We think that they're going to make an impact in the Malaysia's digital economy over the next 2 years and why we picked them. We didn't pick them because they were successful or you know, their companies are doing very well. And we focus on individuals, not the company.
So how did you go about then picking the 50? Because you had, earlier you had the other 50,
50
people. And you know, were any of these 50 from the first issue then been
11 of them were picked again. So we tried to keep the bar high into why we felt they were again going to make an impact over the next 2 years. And we picked 11 of them. And how we picked them was really because we've been covering the space for a while, correct? So we already know the ecosystem pretty well, probably better than any other media outlet out there. I will make that claim here, and I will live or die by that sword, right? And then so we picked these 50 individuals that we thought were going to make an impact, you know, over the next 2 years. And some of them are startups, some of them are established entrepreneurs, and you've also got your brick and mortar people like Tony Fernandez. Why?
Of course, yeah.
Because during our conference last year in September, What's Next, Tony said that he's already come up with a fund, right, investing in startups, and now he's going to get back into the e-commerce game. And then he says that AirAsia also is an internet company. He's going to build an app that will replace his contact center. So he's doing things to disrupt his company, a brick and mortar company, in a digital manner. So that's why we said if he succeeds, he's going to impact the digital economy in Malaysia. And then we've got a gentleman like from IPay88, one of the founders. We featured the founder 2 years ago, you know, Lim Kok King. Now we featured Chan Kok Long. And Chan, and the headline is the behind-the-scenes entrepreneur, Rajan. He was behind the scenes all the while. But in the last year, he has come out ready. And he was also a key factor in the company agreeing to the Japanese company NTT Data to take a majority stake in the Malaysian operations. He said, guys, we need to do
that. That's quite remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's very hard for an entrepreneur to give up their company, but they give up a majority stake in their Malaysian company. They've still got a company running in 5 other ASEAN countries, you know, running e-commerce payment gateways. So they're going to use the funding from the Japanese to bolster
to fund
the operations
the
there and to grow it even bigger. So he was key in that. And now also he's becoming more outward face of the company, you know, meeting entrepreneurs. entrepreneurs, you know, talking to them and sharing his insight. So we feel that over the next 2 years, you know, Chan specifically through, you know, is going to make an impact in our digital economy. That's why we featured him.
Right.
Now, there was also one entrepreneur that did not want to be in the list in the earlier, in the 2014. He said, I wanted to stay low profile behind the scenes.
Okay.
And then so he was the only one who knew we were going to feature him. So the key thing about this list is that nobody knew they're going to be featured. That's how we keep it. We keep it. Not like, as a secret, but people don't know. You know, some we may have said that we're considering
like
you.
The Oscars.
Yeah, it's like the Oscars. You know,
Oscars, so you don't know. And then also we didn't want to be influenced. Like, you know, I know the list from before. We had three people come and say, "Karam, you know, we want to advertise," and then but on condition you feature our CEO. So
does it work that way?
No. Yeah. In my founder's note also, I said there's absolutely no commercial
link.
You know, link or you know a sway in picking these 50. In fact, after it came out. One of the companies, individuals called and said, if we knew our founder, our boss was there, we would have done something with the product. I said, no, that's not how digitality works, right? It's pure, it's idealistic. So when you read it, you can read it with comfort to know that DNA on best effort, you know, since genuinely pick these people.
So where can people actually find this
Digitality
50?
It's in the current issue of Focus Malaysia because we wanted to write in a business publication.
Okay.
And the current issue, today, Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Today's the last day on the shelf because tomorrow the new issue comes out.
Okay.
But, you know, and so the person who didn't want to be featured, who knew was Dato' Larry Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was former Accenture. You read his story, he's like a mega Uber, you know, angel investor in Malaysia. He's done amazing things. He takes bold bets, and I had to persuade him to be in this list this year. And I succeeded, you know, last year, and then he's in the list now. And then there's just a lot of interesting stories here.
Yeah.
Read them and be inspired. And, you know, my first list 2 years ago, I actually had the headline that, 50 to be inspired by. Because their stories are inspiring.
So this 50
this
is...
time, my headline was Malaysia's Got Talent, but in brackets, IT. Malaysia's Got It. Talent.
All right.
And really, you know, it's a great story, I think. Yeah, Rajan?
Now, just moving along quickly, one last story. It's a bit of a sad one. In the Japanese e-commerce, they're having a hangover. Is this because of Rakuten?
Yes.
They made an announcement that their operations in Southeast Asia
Actually, three countries. They're in Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia. They came in with the model that worked for them in Japan.
Yeah.
And they tried it here. So over the last 3 years, I think they've realized it has not worked. And now Rakuten is actually moving and coming up with a mobile C2C, consumer-to-consumer app. Hmm. What's intriguing about this is that Rakuten has got a corporate VC arm also. There's invested in a Singapore startup called Carousel that also is in the C2C space. So we've got a comment from Rakuten on you know, is there a no-compete clause when they invested in Carousel? And they said they declined to comment.
Wow.
And we've asked some VCs who invested in Carousel also, and one of them said no comment also. Mm-hmm. So that means it leaves it open that Rakuten, having learned from Carousel, because you're a VC in them, right? You get reports, that maybe this is the space to go, and they could have learned it on their own. But there's a possibility they will now come out and compete against a party that they have a stake in.
Wow, okay, that's interesting.
So there's also a cautionary tale for all entrepreneurs because like, there's a quote from one VC there, which is great, saying that everyone thought that the traditional VCs, their days were numbered because corporate VCs are coming in. And of course, like Rajan, if you form a VC company in as an offshoot of Hollister and you talk to an entrepreneur who's got an interesting biotech play, chances are he wants to partner with you because you know him, you know his space, right?
Space, yeah.
And you're not just giving money. This is called smart money. You can bring customers or a database with you also. So the allure is very strong. But this is a cautionary tale to say, hey, there's also the dark side where they could actually end up competing with you.
Yeah,
so that's how we wrote the story. And then also Sumitomo came in as an e-commerce play in Malaysia, Sokai.my. And they, in February, actually sold the entire business to a Malaysian entrepreneur, Sui Yong, and who's running it now. And so these two things happened at around the same time. So that's why the headline was that is there a Japanese e-commerce hangover forming in Southeast Asia? With the question mark, because we're asking the question, right?
All right.
Very good comments from VCs from around the world, including one from the Silicon Valley. So it's really an interesting story to read.
Okay. And we are just about out of time. I have to say thank you first to Dr. Rajan. Yeah.
Thanks,
he's
Jeff.
He's the CEO of Holista
and
Coltech.
And the founder, yeah.
And the founder of Holista Coltech.
And very the game cool changer, stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very cool stuff. Yeah. You never know, you know, there was so much of technology goes into white bread.
Yeah, exactly. And the way, the process of innovation, right? Yeah. So gradual from the home, you know, to the office, you know, yeah. I just cannot get it out of my mind that in the office, every other day, they were mixing compounds and making great bread. And everyone in the office was saying, oh my God, I got to eat the bread again today and put on a smiley face for my boss.
And also Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. This has been Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.